Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Emor. So, Parshas Emor follows Parshas Kedoshim. And Chizkuni says that the reason they're next to each other is because after Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, Kedoshim to you, and all the how they should be holy, the next thing is to talk to the Kohanim because they are the Meshur Shei Hashem, that they even have to stay away from Tumah. Plus, the last pasuk of the previous Parsha was V'isho Ishki Yevem Ovo Yidoni Mos Yumosu. So if somebody isn't over a Yidoni, so they are Chayav Misa. So what's that next to Emor for? Because the next pasuk is V'yom HaShem Emor L'Kohen B'nei Aaron, meaning you could go to the Beis HaMikdash, you could speak to the Kohanim. Why would you go to an Oven, a Yidoni, who's Kochas HaTumah to try to figure out the future? Go to the Kohanim. They have the Urim V'Tumim, you could get Ruach HaKodesh from the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the person's Chayav Misa. Then we have a Bas Kohen, who's Mezana, so she gets Sreifa. Why did she get Sreifa? As we know, Esavia hi Mechalela. So just the Chizkuni just adds that that's, since she's Mechalel, her father, she gets Sreifa. Remember, the person who's Boel her does not get Sreifa. Only she gets Sreifa. Why is that? Because she was Mechalel, her father's Kedusha, and the Kedusha she had from her father, therefore she gets the worst punishment. Okay, then just it says, we have Ish Mizara Chala Darosam, and we learn from that a Katan cannot do a vote in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's the Chizkuni brings that the Kohanim wouldn't let anyone less than 20 do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Just that's not the Chizkuni's Chiddush, that's the Sifra here, but just interesting that a Katan is possible from Avodah, but even less than 20, they wouldn't let him do the Avodah. Okay, then we have the Dinim of Mumin, and what's wrong with a Mum? So, because it's not nice that you should have a Kohen who's having Mumin being the Makriv to Hashem. It's not near a Yafa. And we have also the Karbanos can't be Pasul, can't have Mumin rather. And it says in Pasuk, in the Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Aleph, V'ish ki akriv zevach shlamim la'Hashem lefalei neder. So it says lefalei neder. What does it mean lefalei neder? So the Chizkuni just points out something interesting that sometimes you have words in Hebrew that can mean exact opposites depending on the context. So here lefalei means to make clear, to speak out, to be mefarish. You're mefarish that you want a neder, that you want to give over a neder and a davar. That's lefalei. To speak out, to make explicit, to be mefarish. And yet, you have the word lefalei meaning the exact opposite. It's ki palei mimcha davar, which means something that you don't understand, that's hidden from you, it's gone from you. So anyway, it was an interesting point that he pointed out, that you can have words in Hebrew that can mean the exact opposite. Okay, moving right along. Now the Chizkuni has some very interesting points here, starting from the Shorah Chesav Oez Ki Yivaleit. So you have to wait 8 days to bring a carbon. When a shor is born, you need to wait 8 days to bring it as a carbon. Now it's interesting, we say Ki Yivaleit, you can't bring a carbon from an animal that's from a C-section. It has to have been born normally. That's ki yivaleid. That's pratli yotzi dofen. A yotzi dofen is not kosher for a karban. But this does not apply to a human. A kohen can be a yotzi dofen and still do avod on the Beis HaMikdash. And, okay, that's straight halacha sifra. But he has an interesting thing here. Why do you have to wait? Why the 8 days? So he says, any time you're parish from tumah, you need 7 days. So then the 8th day you could bring it. He says similar to May Mace, right? You count the Paraduma, 7 days. And then he goes the Metzora, Azava, right? There's always a 7 day break, and then you can become Tahar. Because whenever you're being Parish from Tuma, like when someone is born, the Parish, right, from something Tame, so then you need 7 days. He does not mention what you would think, Bris, but should be the same thing. A person also goes to a Bris, the Bris with Hashem, after 8 days. Similar reasons. Okay, the evening's also, Rashi says, oh, when you're talking about Osov Espino, Lo Sushchatu B'yom Echad, you can't shech the mother and the child on the same day. What about the son? So Rashi just tells you that it only applies to the mother and child. What about the father? So Pasha says it doesn't apply, but no, just the Chizkuni points out, it's not true, it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether it applies to the father or not. So you can't do it. In other words, in practice, you cannot do it. You can't shecht osos b'no even the father, because it's a suffix whether you're allowed to do that. Okay, but the other one's vaday. A mother and a child is vaday. Okay. just I guess to clarify that that's really a kasha on Rashi. Rashi says it is mutter. The Chizkuni is saying that, no, it's not. So it's kind of like a kasha on Rashi. Okay, moving right along. Then we have the moados. So here we have an interesting thing. The Torah says, what do you call the holiday of Pesach? Is it called Pesach or is it called Chag HaMatzos? So the Torah does both, right? It says Bechodesh Rishon Ba'Barasar Lechodesh Bein Rabayim Pesach Lashem. It sounds like the holiday is called Pesach. And Bechamisha So Yom Lechodesh Chag HaMatzos Lashem. It's called Chag HaMatzos. Which is it? Okay, so you probably could figure out the answer, which is on the 14th, it's called Pesach, meaning the night of the first night of Pesach. Then we call it Pesach because that's their being Osik in Karban Pesach. But in the rest of Pesach, we call it Chag HaMatzos because you're not being Osik in the Karban Pesach anymore. Okay, then we have the Karban Omer. So you bring the Reishis to the Kohen, like the Chizkuni always says, the Reishis always has to go to Hashem, that's proper. And then the Karban Mincha, Karban Omer rather, so you bring a Karban, I can bring a Keves Tamim, an animal, and then it's Mincha. Usually what it goes with a keves, right? You have one Yisaron. Yisaron la keves, right? We know from the davenings. So you get one Yisaron per keves. So here we have two Esronim for the one keves. Why is that? Rashi points out it's you know, it's kafel. Why is that? So the Chizkuni gives two reasons. One is to give bracha, because this is the, you know, this is, you're bringing the carbon for the food, not right, this mater's chadash. So that there should be bracha in the wheat or in the barley or whatever in all the crops, so you bring double. That's one answer. Another answer is because that is the Karban Omer, meaning you're bringing one Yisaron for the keves and then one extra as the Karban Omer because that's the Omer. That's the Karban Omer itself. Chizkuni does not like that second shot because you're not bringing barley, right? You're bringing the Yisronim Architim. The Yisronim Architim. So you can't say it's the Omer itself because the Yisronim Architim, so he doesn't like that. So in other words, you're really bringing three Yisarons. One Yisaron is the Omer, and that's barley. And then two Yisronim are the thing that comes with the carbon. And it is not, according to the Chizkuni, one of them is not this Omer. Those are for sure wheat. So he likes his first shot better, that he just double it for bracha. Okay, then we have the counting of Sfiras Omer. So he says that the time in between is, as we know, the 49 days and 50. That is a remez to Shemitah, as we know. Shemitah 7 years, and then the 50th is Yovel, so it's a similar thing. He also brings this pasuk in Yirmi that says, Shvuos chukos ketzir yishmar lanu, which Rashi there says means the 7 weeks that Hashem told us, that made us chuk of ketzir. Which ketzirs? The ketzir omer and the shtei halechem. That comes on Shavuos. So those Shavuos that we keep, these dinim, which is we bring the Karban Omer at the beginning, and we bring the Shtei Alechem at the end, and the sounds like, and the 7 weeks that connect them, is Yishmalanu Sheheya Katsir Bizmanu. That protects us that the Katsir will be Bizmanu. It sounds like he thinks that that's part of the Sfiras Omer is part of that. That's part of the Chuk, it sounded like. And this connection to Shemitah, also, it seemed like that's part of the reason for the whole Sfiras Omer is connected to Shemitah. Not so clear. You can look it up yourself. Anyway, he also explains the reason why you don't say Ashechianu on Sfiras Omer, which all the Rishonim talk about. Some say it's because it's a sad mitzvah, it remembers us of the Chorban. But anyway, he says the reason you don't make a Shechianu on Sfiras Omer is because it's really just the Tzarech Shavuos, like it brings you to Shavuos. So, therefore, it's not enough to get a Shechianu. It's just leading to something else. As to say Shechianu, Begianu, Lazman Hazeh, what's man? This is not this man. This man is really Litzarach Shavuos. That's this man. So that's why there's no Shechianu. Okay, then we talk about Yom Kippur. Now, listen to this. I don't think, maybe I forgot. I don't recall anybody ever discussing why we fast on Yom Kippur. Kapara, if any, I mean, the Torah says to fast, so we fast on Yom Kippur. Why? Well, we always, because of Kapara, it helps Kapara. Listen to this. The Chizkuni says the reason we fast on Yom, of course, it's because the Torah says so, but he's explaining his reasoning. The reason why he says we fast on Yom Kippur is because it says when they got the Torah, it says Vayaras Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu, that the Zakenim saw Hashem Vayochlu Vayishtu, and remember this was a problem. But the Chizkuni says because of that, that made the Klal Yisrael be Mishtachave LeEgel. From Rov Achila Vishtia, in other words, taking it literally, sounds like, since they, not like right, Rashi says that they spiritually enjoy, whatever, they saw Elohim and they ate and drank because of the Rov Achil and Shtia, it caused them to bow down to the Egel, and therefore when Hashem gave the Luchos Shnios, which is on Yom Kippur, we fast. I don't think I ever heard that one before. Okay, that's the Tizkuni. Next, why do we only have Shmini Atzeres on Shmini Atzeres? Right, why don't we have, it's Hashem saying stay one day extra. So why doesn't Hashem say stay one day extra after Pesach? Only after Sukkot we're supposed to stay one day extra for Shmini Atzeres. So he brings the Medrash that says, because basically it's because it's the longest gap. He brings a Medrash after Pesach, you know, the parent when the child leaves says, when are you coming back? 50 days. Okay, and after Shavuos, when are you coming back? A few months. Okay, come back for Sukkot. When are you coming back? 6 months. 6 months. Stay an extra day. That's the idea. So Shmini Atzeres is after Sukkot only because it's the longest break. He also explains why Sukkot comes out in the harvest time, because that's the whole point of it, which is when people are harvesting their crops and they are now have all kind of, that's basically like the annual paycheck gets paid then. That's when you get your salary. You're likely to say, Kochi v'yotzei yoyadi, so we make a holiday that you should remember it's from Hashem. Not only that, there's a all the other chagim, right, Pesach and Shavuos, you're only mechuyev to stay one day. You don't have to do simcha all 8 days. You can go home after the first day. Sukkot, you're supposed to stay till the end, right, through Shmini Atzeres. It's a mitzvah of simcha all eight, you know, to stay all, it's not simcha, to stay all 8 days. Right, in other words, by Pesach it says, you'll bring the Pesach on the first day, you'll stay day one. Fanisa baboker b'alachta Allah alecha. That means you go home. After first day Pesach, you go home. After say it's first day Shavuos, you go home. Not Sukkot. Sukkot, you're supposed to stay the whole time. And the reason is that by Pesach and Sukkot, you're still working in the fields. So you got to go home. That's what he says. But as opposed to Sukkot, you already gathered everything in. You got nowhere to go. So that's when Hashem says, stay all 8 days, stay an extra day to stay with Hashem. Then we have the story with the Mekalal. So we know the Mekalal was Yotza Mechuyev from Beis Dino Shel Moshe. Yotze Ben Isha, right? He was Yotza Mechuyev. Why was he Mechuyev? Because he was the story was that he was the son of Shlomis ben Bas Divri, who the Mitzri, that story with the Mitzri who kicked the husband, Shlomis' husband, out of the house and was Mazana with her. And then, according to Rashi, when the Mitzri saw that the husband realized that this Mitzri was Mazana with his wife, so he started beating him, and that's the Mitzri that Moshe killed. So that's this guy's son. So this guy was the son of this Mitzri. So a lot of interesting points about this. First of all, why was he Yotze Mechuyev? He was Yotze Mechuyev, Rashi says, because he wanted a place, he wanted to be in Machne Yisrael, and because he was going to go with his mother's tribe, but you don't go with that mother's tribe, you go with the father's tribe, and he was a guy, so they got kicked out. So first of all, Chizkuni wants to know, what tribe? There's no Degalim yet. This is in the first year. This is at the same time as the guy was Mechal Shabbos. So it was the same thing. It was in the first year. They didn't have the Degalim until the second year. So what's he being Yotze Mechuyev about? So Chizkuni says, even before they had the Degalim, everybody was, they had the Masorah from Yaakov Avinu where they were supposed to be, and he wanted to be in that place with his tribe, what he thought was his tribe. Okay, it also said he was a ger, this guy. The person who cursed Hashem. So why did he have to be Megayer if his mother's Jewish? What does he need Geirus for? So the Chizkuni said, because Kodem Matan Torah, it went with the mother. Like, it's a Jewish thing that it goes with the, you go with your mother, whether you're Jewish. But before Matan Torah, when nobody was officially Jewish, and we had a din of a Ben Noach, then it goes with the father. And so this is Kodem Matan Torah, so he had a din of a guy. And that's why he needed to be Megayer. Then it says he cursed Hashem. What does it say? Ba'ikov ben ha'isha ha'yisraelis es Hashem v'yikalel. So he cursed the shame, right? V'yikalel. What does it mean, the shame? So this, I don't remember this either. This is a fascinating medrash that says that it's a little bit slightly different story, but it's basically the same story that I just told you with, it was Shlomis Bas Divri's husband was Nerya, and this Mitzri kicked him out, and then he was beating up, it's the one that Moshe killed, that the Mitzri was beating up, okay. So now he wants to put himself with his mother's tribe, right? So they're having a fight. So one says to the Jew, the guy who's actually Jewish, says to his friend, "Mamzerata benish mitzriata, you're really benish mitzri." And he said, "Oh, really? I'm the son of this mitzri. Where is he?" He says, "Oh, Hashem killed him with the shame of Mefarish. That's why he cursed the shame Hashem. The shame that Moshe killed his father with, he cursed that name because that's the name that killed his father. So he cursed that name." Fascinating, right? So that's by Yikov Es Hashem, the name that was used to kill his father. Okay, then it says that when this kind of thing happens, they have to take him out and kill him. And then it says, Besamchu, that they have to do smicha on him, meaning they rest their hands on his head and then they kill him. What's with the smicha? What's that about? So the Chizkuni says it's because part of the process in Beis Din is that they have to say over what this guy did, right? The Gemara talks about they kick everybody out. They have to say it eventually at the end, what was said. So they had to curse Hashem. I mean, they're not really cursing Hashem. They're saying over what happened, just that they had to say that. So that's like a little bit of an avera. So they do smicha on this guy saying like, that which we had to curse Hashem, this is on your head, not ours. We had to do it because of you. Okay. Then it says, and this is also very fascinating, it says, anyone who, and there's two psukim, it says, Al b'nei yishel tadaber limor ish ish ki yikalel elokav v'nasacheto. If you curse Hashem, nasacheto, meaning you don't get killed, it's kares. Then the next pasuk says, v'nokiv shem Hashem, most you must. But if you curse shem Hashem, most you must. What's the difference? So Rashi said the previous pasuk where it says just kares, that means when you weren't warned. The next pasuk says being killed, that's when you were warned. Chizkuni says something totally different. It says one pasuk says Elokov, and one pasuk says Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when it's Elokov, the name for Beis Din is also Elohim. That's the name for Beis Din. So when if he uses the name Elokov, if he uses that, he curses Elokim, Chas V'Shalom, so then it could be he's referring to Beis Din. So Beis Din can't kill him because they don't know what he was thinking. So it's just he gets curries, but Beis Din can't do anything. But if it says Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that can only mean Hashem, and then they'll kill him. Okay.